Blog Talk Radio.
Up in life, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the fact that some people still think that.
Well, what's good, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy B-Train joining you on a lovely Monday here. Boy, it's kind of overcast, kind of cloudy here in Brooklyn, but got a lot to discuss with you all. And I gotta say, Monday Night Raw, No Mercy. I don't know which one was, worthy of discussing first. So I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say, let's discuss No Mercy. No Mercy was from the Staples Center in Los Angeles, sold out crowd. Were they really there to see Roman Reigns and John Cena? Don't know, but they're pretty into it. You know, some crowds are, they're there, okay. They attended the event. They saw what they wanted to see. Or maybe not. So, what exactly happened at No Mercy? Give me a second. All right. So, you saw several matches of several which variety. First and foremost, what was the first match at No Mercy? Well, let's see. The Miz versus Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental Championship. I gotta say, the match was definitely back and forth, but the Miz Taraz definitely had a hand in it. There's some interference during that time. And let's see here. So, Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. Finn Balor, I don't think has ever seen anything like Bray Wyatt. There's instances in the match. Why am I not covering the entirety of Jason Jordan and Miz? Miz did his job. He kept the title. You know, he kept the crowd going. Actually, the crowd was cheering for him. Anyways, back to the Miz versus... Nah. I'm skipping over this. So, hang on one second. Well, folks, sorry for that pause, but I was generally looking at questions, and some of them are asking, will Goldust join Bray Wyatt? I don't think so, and that's not the only reason why I paused, ladies and gentlemen. It just so happens that Grandfather was a part of the Honors Flight. Thank him for service to this country. We'll get to that later. And not to discount what he did, we want to thank him for serving our country, and also being the patriarch of our family. Sorry, I'm breaking character, guys. Like normal. Cesaro and Sheamus versus the tag team champions of Ambrose and Rollins. Now, main focus of this match is Ambrose decided to go, and moved. You know, that's what he's supposed to do. And Cesaro was a pit of the post with his mouth. And that's not the extent of the injury. I'm sure you all read about it once online. Now Cesaro looks like he got cracked in the face with a beer bottle, or worse, got cracked in the face really hard by some big asshole. So, the women's Fatal 5-Way was an interesting turn of match. No Mercy, from the Staples Center, you see Nia Jax versus Emma versus Bayley versus Sasha versus Alexa Bliss, the champion. And at one point, am I going to slow down on these matches? Yeah, I can guarantee you, while I shut the door here in this house in Brooklyn, through all this craziness going on about my roommate letting me know my grandfather was on TV, and from the fact that I'm supposed to be concentrating on matches. Well, here it is, folks. The reason why I'm ziplining through these matches is because I don't have much to zipline through on Monday Night Raw. I actually have something to cover. Actually, a few things. Main points I'm going to focus on. Back to the women's match. It started out Nia dominating as usual. Emma kind of showing a bit of surprise because it is for a championship, folks. It's not for a participation ribbon, that is. And was the, how was the pacing of the match? What was it like? Well, into you, nobody expected Sasha and Bayley to kind of have heat with each other, and I don't think they had very much heat because obviously they kept those two together annoyingly the next night after. The result was that Alexa Bliss got the Bliss, you know, DDT or whatever she calls it. She ends up winning the match. So I think that it's funny, you know, and I agree with what you're saying. Okay, so the women's match, and then you had Cena versus Reigns. What's funny is the crowd booed. At one point, booed John Cena. They booed them both, saying, "You both suck." Then they booed Roman Reigns even harder. So it's kind of hard to determine which one to boo more. And that wasn't the focus of the match. Did they actually tell a story? It's very, very hard to get through this match. I mean, I'm just going to say it. One, you know, I mean, one account, John Cena is shown being sincere with kids, and John Cena is being shown to be insincere, you know, after the match with Roman. Now, Roman kicked out of three, not one, not two, three, but four attitude adjustments. You can hear the enthusiasm, folks, in the sound of my voice after kind of wasting time watching this pay-per-view. Will Hell in a Cell be better? That's kind of a four-drawn conclusion, correct? I mean, look. The rest of the match on No Mercy, or matches on No Mercy, included one final, two title matches, which were, one was complete and utter bullshit, and I'll tell you why. Simply put, when you have Enzo Amore, a less skilled wrestler, versus Neville, a very highly multi-talented superstar, or cruiserweight, and the title just gets, you know, given to Enzo? I don't think so. Although he did kick someone in the gonads and be making you wonder, how in the hell did Enzo win the championship so quickly? Just a fair fucking warning, folks. It's WWE. You never know who's going to win. You never know who's going to be on top. After that match, you had Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman. I don't know why, you know, things are becoming so insistent upon Brock Lesnar. Maybe the merch sales is what people are looking at. Maybe it's the crowd that gets really, really up for Lesnar. I don't know. Bill Mark's podcast said it best. Don't understand how Jinder Mahal, who's there every day, doesn't get enough attention as Lesnar. Maybe if we take Lesnar and put him there every night, fans will still be going bonkers for him, so that might backfire. Maybe we put him there every night and do the same thing over and over. Maybe that's what it'll get. Maybe that's what it'll take for fans to boo his ass. Not just booing him, but having a disdain for him, a hatred for him, so that people stop vouching for him to be the best Universal Champion? I think the answer to that question is Paul Heyman is partially the reason why Brock Lesnar is still holding that around his waist. No. See, Paul Heyman is basically the hype man. You had Don King for Mike Tyson. And you have variations in the UFC that are hype people, like Conor McGregor is his own hype man. But I feel like Brock Lesnar winning last night was basically the culmination of me thinking, why in the hell? And they're kind of pointing it towards Roman Reigns in an obvious tilt. So why, you know, now you go from John Cena because you ran out of room and space for him. That's not the necessary case, right? Why are we going from booing and hating and you know, saying, gee, I wonder when you're going to take the title off of somebody? Could be because, folks, the people that are supposed good people that are great, you know, when what they do. It could be because Roman's consistent. He shows up on time. He does what's asked of him. And also because, well, maybe they might find a good social experiment, you know, with what they did with him and John Cena. They had to bring it that route of, you know, shoot promos and this, that, the other, because Roman basically is not very good on the mic. He's getting better, but he wasn't that apt for just straight shoot promos. Took him a minute to get into the swing of things, right? So now it's him versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Champion next week on Raw. I figured I'm eventually going to get the Raw theme on here since I have SmackDown, just to do a Raw recap. Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. So, Raw 2017, September 25th edition. We are from Ontario, California. I've never even heard of that. Never. I've heard of Ontario, Canada. But, folks, let's switch gears here and start reviewing Monday Night Raw. Miz and Miz TV, of course, at the Miz Taraz. So you had the Miz and Roman Reigns discussing things. The Miz obviously trying to antagonize Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns finally got up and said, you know, you want to talk so much shit, why don't you back it up and we can fight right here, right now. Miz gets out of the ring, Kurt Angle's music hits. And I just want to say this is what cracks me up about Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle is now looking forward to every time that he steps out of that curtain, he is, you suck. You suck. And it's just great because he embraces it. He's not ashamed of it. He's not upset about it. I mean, why? He's doing his job. And anyways, Kurt Angle decided to make the match between Roman Reigns and The Miz. Of course, I don't know, folks, if you've already noticed the title. I'm going to discuss this with you later on and see what you all think, since a lot of people are teasing the idea of a Shield reunion. Now, so The Miz starts off the show. He's not too thrilled with Kurt Angle. He's not too thrilled with the fact that he has to face Roman Reigns. So, I mean, a lot of things go on. Like, for example, there's in-between matches like the Hardy. Yeah, Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan, they faced off against Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. Obviously, you know, I think it's funny. Jason Jordan's in the mix of a lot of things, and it's pretty much a good thing, I guess, for the Raw audience to witness and see. So, the main story, though, I forgot. One match that stood out to me during Monday Night Raw. And Braun Strowman. Kind of an impromptu fight after Kurt Hawkins was proclaiming that you guys are going to remember this moment in history for the rest of your lives, blah, 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 blah. The losing streak of 0-117 is going to be over. Well, Braun Strowman basically kind of ruined that. I don't think anybody cared because Curt Hawkins normally has come out there and he just gets destroyed and gets money for it. So Braun Strowman basically chokeslammed Curt Hawkins through a roadie table or a crew table. And then he gets thrown through the screen, the entrance screen. This is just nuts. I mean, it's insane, Braun Strowman's strength. But out of nowhere, you hear Dean Ambrose's theme, and you think to yourself as fans, I must be hearing things. I must be in a different world. So what exactly happened on Raw in order? As I said, I never go in order, but No, Elias Samson defeated Apollo Crews. Braun Strowman beat Ambrose. Seth Rollins defeated Sheamus. Yes, and my personal favorite. Again, you see two things happen. Roman Reigns gets beat up by the Miztrage, and it's a brutal, brutal-ass beating, okay? Because earlier in the show, you heard Roman say, you don't want that. You don't want us to annihilate you. You don't want to get your ass handed to you. The Miz basically plays the role of supervillain, kind of like how John Cena plays the role of superface. But this supervillain basically just teased or is baiting Roman Reigns to reunite with the Shield. I don't know how much it'll happen, but I believe what you're going to get is one of those things that we like to call a wake-up call, and that is how many reunitings of a group in wrestling are we going to get? We got DX in 2006, and that lasted till 2009. We got the reuniting of the Shield partially with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. So what's going to be the end result, folks? Who is going to be the GOAT? The Shield? Which brings me to this. Asuka is debuting. Her main roster debut is at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs in October. So, if in fact you know, different factors factor into being good, bad, the ugly on Monday Night Raw. What was the good? Ambrose versus Strowman, pretty decent match. Some people may say, oh, it's shitty. No? I mean, it surprised me what... Hang on one second, folks. I'm sorry I'm pausing a lot during the show. My apologies. Well, folks, I'm sorry there's a lot of doors slamming shut and open. That's kind of why I had to pause it. If you would allow me to reconvene and replace or reconstruct my thoughts, I'm going to pause for station identifications because why? These identifications, stations identifications are just too sweet.
Bullet Club 4444.
Okay, now that I've composed my thoughts and had time to collect and think, here's what I'm going to say about Monday Night Raw, No Mercy. No Mercy was kind of a filler pay-per-view for what we are preparing, you know, for as fans to look forward to at Hell in a Cell this coming October. Now, seeing as how I just reviewed Monday Night Raw, and I'm going to get back to this part of the Monday Night Raw review is going to carry on to off the rails. So, folks, allow me to get you all ready for, well, hit my theme, monkeys. SmackDown Live Preview.
Red alert, I'm trying to lie down. On the front line, so my mind.
All right, folks. So, No Mercy is occurring in Detroit. And the following contests are scheduled for one fall. Jeez. Okay. So, you've got Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens. You've got U.S. Championship match, AJ Styles facing off, possibly Baron Corbin, and more. He has an open invitation, right? Okay. So while I'm pulling this up, a lot of people are pulling up for me. Thank you. So, whoops. While I'm pulling this up, I gotta answer some of your questions because this is just funny. I want to show 2017. There we are. Thanks for typing on my chin. It's kind of odd. So, SmackDown's tonight, September 26, 2017. Shane McMahon says he has something in store for Kevin Owens, who spoke last week on Satellite. And basically, it says Primo Colon, who's been out with a knee injury for 3 months, is he returned to action in a live house show in New Mexico. So, says Maria Kanellis has stepped away, and I'm seeing a picture. Paige. Oh, boy. So what does this have anything to do with the championship? Maybe Charlotte versus Paige. I don't know. It's now Charlotte versus Natalya at Hell in a Cell. Let's see here. The Hype Brothers that are having issues. Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. Dillinger versus Corbin tonight, and the number one contender will go on to face AJ Styles. So, actually, what do I have in store for you all SmackDown Live preview? What does Nakamura plan on doing to Jinder Mahal at Hell in a Cell? What are the plans for Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell? There's a lot of plans, folks, that are about to be revealed, and we, you know, should just sit back and just watch as an audience. Because for now, we know the predictability with Raw. For now, I mean, sometimes they surprise us, they as in the wrestlers who wrestle on that roster, they surprise us. But SmackDown Live tonight should be no different than what it was last week. And if it is different, great, because Fashion Files are back. There's a lot of returns, obviously Primo and Epico, adding some newfound flavor to the tag team division. Does it mean anything? Probably not. And, yes. I was supposed to give you a preview, but just basically giving you my thought and opinion. And my thought and opinion on SmackDown Live is simple. Last week, you saw Shane McMahon come out there and say, I should have handled myself better, I should have done better, blah, blah, blah. You heard Kevin Owens say, I should have finished the job. I should have not let up. I should have stepped on his throat. Basically, you have good elements on SmackDown. You have elements that are supposed to be in pro wrestling. That is, the heel antagonizes the babyface. The babyface gets his or her revenge, correct? Hoping they don't drop the ball on that at SmackDown Live's, you know, pay-per-view in Detroit, Hell in a Cell. See, my hope prediction for that is that Shane loses. Then they start the Kevin Owens Triple H feud. That's what most of us be hoping for. I mean, one can only hope that things go decently at Hell in a Cell versus the things that were, I guess, if you will, somewhat okay at No Mercy. Now, what are the differences between No Mercy and Hell in a Cell? Well, Hell in a Cell is yet to happen, so No Mercy was so-so. It was 50-50. Now, I don't know. This is just my personal opinion. People may rag on Lesnar because he's only there part-time. But, folks, who else do you think can put on the title that would make it a polarizing champion, or represent the title as a polarizing champion? Finn Balor, most definitely, is a fan favorite. Some people say The Miz. Why can't he up his game to a Universal title picture? I don't, no one said that he couldn't up his game. I'm just saying to you that, let's say, Bray Wyatt jumps into the picture. Samoa Joe jumps into the picture again. I guarantee you, from what I saw, from what I witnessed at SummerSlam, before, you know, Brock Lesnar got to No Mercy, Lesnar, they got to find somebody believable for him, you know, to beat. Finn Balor might be it. Not putting anything against Finn Balor, because he's an excellent competitor. But honestly, Lesnar has not rolled through opponents like he did in 2002. This is obviously 2017, where another monster has been found to monster handle him, and that is, you take one look at Braun Strowman, and you say to yourself, how in God's name am I going to stop myself? Or stop? Who's going to stop Brock Lesnar? Who in God's name is going to stop Brock Lesnar? Or who's going to stop Braun Strowman? Well, I don't think anybody, for that matter, can stop either of them that's healthy on the roster. You want healthy? I give you healthy. And that is, when Samoa Joe gets back, or when, better yet, when a variety of people, Roman Reigns had a tough time with Braun Strowman, and he's supposed to be the top guy in the company, so they're bumping him down. I don't think that's the case, folks. I don't necessarily think that that's the case when it comes to watching someone that can destroy Braun Strowman, or at least hang with him. All right, folks. I take another brief pause and basically talk about the advertisements. If you like to go to Danny Cage's Monster Factory, you do not have to attend both days. You can attend both to gain more knowledge and more prominent knowledge in professional wrestling, not just knowledge, but learning different things from different people who have been around in this business. For example, people in the past that have showed up to his camp have been Michael DePetta, Mike Wyslinski, Abyss, Bill DeMott, Michael DePetta, so on and so forth. Show up, see who's on the camp list, Rip Rogers, just to name a few. So if you'd like to find out more, go to monsterfactory.org. You can contact Danny Cage. His phone number is on the vehicle. It's on the school website. And trust me, going to be interesting because it is, you know, the fact that you can take a look on the links on the website, make sure you sign yourself up, and voila, you'll be there at his camp. For more information, contact Danny Cage directly at monsterfactory.org, or just easily email him, text him, call him. Do not spend too much time on the phone. Get to the point. For those of you wishing to go to school at Monster Factory, it's located in Paulsboro, New Jersey. For more information on the school and the tuition prices, call. You can look at the website at monsterfactory.org. It is $2,000 for experience, or $2,000 for no experience, $1,000 plus an additional down payment of $500. For more information, to check for sure on the rates of the school, go to monsterfactory.org. Speaking of wrestling schools, you can check out the best school in the Midwest, one of them, at fightnwoleague.com, Fight NWO Kansas City. Type it in Google, find the school. The school is located in North Kansas City, Missouri. It is the only wrestling school in Kansas City, Missouri. Be sure to check it out and enjoy making your dreams of becoming a pro wrestling manager, referee, or wrestler come true. For those of you wishing to see the Indigo, they will be at the Scottish Rite Temple September 30th. Be there, or I don't know what to tell you. Okay? So anyways, folks, be right back. We apologize for the technical difficulties going on at Russell Radio, but we're definitely trying to work through this stuff, folks, and trust me, it ain't going to be easy, but like I said, you work through these things. For those of you wishing to sign up for the WWE Network, you can do so. Go to WWE.com right now. Get your preloaded WWE gift card. You can get these gift cards at GameStop, Best Buy, 7-Eleven, or your local Dollar Generals. Again, that's your local Best Buy, GameStop, Dollar Generals, or 7-Elevens. So, with that being said, you can definitely take advantage. Hold on a second.
We can take a shower.
Anyways, folks, as I was saying, you can pick up your local WWE preloaded card that's $29.97, or you can get a valid debit card. And it's your first month free, plus that $29.97 is good for 3 months, so you get 4 months of all the companies, and soon to be included Ring of Honor, ECW, well, soon to be included, already included, ECW, WCW, NWA, AWA, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, so on and so forth. So, here's what's going to happen. For the next, or actually majority bulk of the show to make up for what I've been doing, folks, and pausing and going. So, without further ado, let's get to it. Vinny, hit my music. Folks, so lately, fans have been asking themselves the question, what was the purpose of No Mercy? Well, you can't have WrestleMania caliber matches every time. I mean, WrestleMania hasn't been decent, in some people's opinion, since, well, their opinion of their WrestleMania. So can't necessarily peg it on one WrestleMania that was decent. But I have to say, lately, WWE has been doing okay, so, and at times, wow, that was a really good show. It's kind of like shock therapy, really. If you watch it all the way through, you'll be amazed. If you don't watch it all the way through, you'll be like, eh, well, you know. In other words, it's hit and miss. So, No Mercy last night, Monday Night Raw the night after. What were the subtle differences? Well, I'll tell you. Jason Jordan facing The Miz, you know, with all the help in the world you can get from the Mr. Oz, are we really that surprised? To those of us who don't have the IQ of 12, or to those of us who actually know, you know, how and have an idea but not quite of how the wrestling world works, Miz does his job by getting the fans riled up, right? Well, obviously, Los Angeles really, really loved him last night. They loved The Miz. And they didn't boo his ass. They didn't do anything that would resemble Miz being a bad guy. Now, nowadays, everybody in the wrestling world likes a bad guy. And no, I'm not referring to Ayo Chico. I'm not referring to Razor Ramon. I'm referring to everyone likes a villain now because
they say that their characters are different, that they bring to the table. What do they bring to the table? They bring a certain kind of ambiance to them. They bring a certain kind of brand of unique. So what's the difference between Miz and Jinder Mahal? Well, they're both champions. One carries the title fairly well. Got to give him credit for that. It'll be the Miz. The other one has, he's run his course. It's been a few months, but I'll just say it. Jinder Mahal run completely stale. He's not entertaining. He's just the same person every single time. Without fail, this is, you know, it's sad, but it's true. So how does one person adjust to this? How do you adjust to watching both Raw and SmackDown, or SmackDown Live as it's called now? I learned that when you watch wrestling, you're going to deal with people that like to discuss what they don't like. So fairly, you know, it's fairly easy. You just cherry pick what you saw and what you witnessed. I happen to watch, you know, No Mercy because I have to report it. I'm a broadcast journalist. I shouldn't have to feel that way. The only highlights of No Mercy for me was the women's championship match, the Fatal 5-Way. And I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much the Cruiserweight match now, because there really, really only was one match that caught my attention, and that was the Women's Fatal 5-Way. I know I discuss a lot of women's wrestling on here, but here's the thing. I don't care for what was on that card, because you know, they know, and deep down, you wanted Braun Strowman to win against Brock Lesnar. We all did. Well, some of us didn't, maybe. But the same token, because the predictability, of WWE is, will we be thrown for complete and utter swerve, or will we be, you know, subjected to seeing Brock Lesnar hold that title all the way to WrestleMania, and only for it to be taken off by one, the only, Roman Reigns? Let's hear the trumpet sound. Oh, thank God I don't have that sound effect, folks, because Francesca 3.0 is not here. So, some people may call me negative. Well, I don't give a flying fuck. I'm just telling you. Oh, hang on a second. We got ourselves a caller. Whew, wait a minute. Hello?
How's it going? This is Tom calling in. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Nice.
So what's on your mind?
I literally just tuned in, so whatever you're talking about, I can probably jump in.
Okay, well, I was talking about how we as fans have learned to not expect much from Raw's side of things, and how SmackDown Live, you watch with, you know, your eyes open because you never know what's going to happen next. And a good example of that is, you know, Raw had a decent week, you know, with John Cena and Roman Reigns finally, you know, getting out of their comfort zones, which is funny because I said this last week. Thank you, WWE, for slapping CM Punk in the face multiple times without him even giving a fuck. I say that nicely because the whole let's shoot at each other during a promo because it's out of the comfort zone, ooh, fans haven't seen that before. And also, you know, the fact that Dolph Ziggler is imitating superstars on SmackDown Live because he knows that they're not using him. And they're, I just kind of have to calm myself sometimes, but that's kind of very hard to do when you've got guys like Enzo Amore. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I mean, I would say that this is probably about as bad of a 24-hour period of time in wrestling I can remember. I mean, like, and it's saying a lot because I think Vince McMahon, other than, like, production quality at this point, is, like, really just not very good at his job. And he's not only not good at his job, he is damaging to his entire company at this point. So, I mean, first off, you take – let's just start where they were actually coming from here, right? Every year, we have to sit back and watch the older guys come back at our WrestleMania, and we complain every year about it, and we say, why can't they just push their own guys at WrestleMania? This is why. This is why, because they give away their big matches at meaningless pay-per-views. If I were to tell you before this pay-per-view happened that the WrestleMania card was going to be Cena, Reigns, Strowman, Lesnar, and, say, Styles, Nakamura, you could sell that as a WrestleMania triple main event without bringing in any of the older guys. Now you've given away the matches. And the worst part about it is they don't even understand what they're doing, because they do that stupid silence, respect thing for Cena where everyone's supposed to stand up and clap. And it's like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, John Cena, this all-time WWE great, is of course going to retire at No Mercy 2017. Who could forget all the classics at No Mercy, like that random match they showed, like Batista versus Eddie Guerrero at No Mercy 2017. Who could at 2005? Who could forget about all the classics? I'm sure Cena's leaving. Then you have Strowman just lose to Lesnar in a way that I'm sure many people have dissected. It was just stupid. It was just bad. Like, it really affected Strowman's, like, standing and actual character. And then just Enzo is such a good example of just the Trump-like garbage pettiness of McMahon. He's so petty and hypocritical. All his stupid company talks about is don't bully, don't bully, don't bully. And they are publicly bullying a man just out of utter backstage pettiness on television. Like, they have no over baby faces in this company. No one is over. Styles is kind of over. Nakamura is even starting to fall off. You have a tailor-made, actually over baby face, and they've done everything they can to make fans not care about him. And guess what? They succeeded. I don't care about Enzo. He's a joke at this point. I probably won't ever care about him again. So great job, WWE. You've ruined him on purpose, and you did it. So, like, it's just a joke to watch this company at this point. They're so bad at it. It's a joke. It really is.
Well, I mean, that's kind of why I watch, you know, like, this is why I tell fans, broaden your horizons by watching Ring of Honor. And you might wonder where Sami Zayn came from, a Kevin Owens. Hell, you might even wonder where Mike Kanellis came from, even though he, oh, hang on a second. I got someone that's, what's going on here? Oh, hang on. I got another caller. Give me one second. What's going on? Okay, I don't know why that someone decided to be a jerk off and decided to play Staying Alive. That's okay. I don't see why they'd be calling my show. Bye. Okay. Anyways, as I was saying, you know, you were saying that it's a joke watching programming, and you know, it's ridiculous watching them, you know, every pay-per-view and trying to come up with different things for us to be entertained by. So, I don't know, man. What's your take on WWE's future? I mean, seeing as how they will still get an audience, they will still, you know, be alive, because it's, you know, it's the flagship company. It's the number one company in the world.
I mean, there's a massive barrier to entry into the market, right? So I think in general, you need a lot of stars to align, and then on top of those stars aligning, you need someone actually smart behind it. So I think the first thing you're going to need is someone with a boatload of money. So you had Dixie Carter came in. She had a lot of money, but she doesn't know anything about wrestling. So she's trusting the wrong people, and she kind of actually blew that. I think that was almost a once in every 15 or 20 years thing that you saw was going to happen, which is an incredibly wealthy person has hired, which is a tough thing to make money in. And so if you're just looking at it from like a venture capital standpoint, what venture capitalist in their right mind is going to invest money in the wrestling industry when the WWE has such a stronghold on the business. So it's going to really have to be someone's personal money. I just don't see where that's coming from. Like, I would never, if I were, I would never as a competitor enter into the business and try and compete with the WWE. Plus, you're looking at a situation at this point where unless the person is unbelievably wealthy that's entering into it, they're probably going to get bought by WWE no matter what if they manage to become big enough. So Ring of Honor, it's not going to get there. I mean, Ring of Honor, it can be as popular as they want. Maybe they even get Daniel Bryan in a year and they have a little spark. But, like, to think they're going to get to that level, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to have the money to do it. New Japan. They could have a big worldwide stronghold. I don't know if they're going to get big enough to really get the foothold in the States. You think they have the second best chance to win, but as long as all their stars are still coming over west, you know, I mean, it's going to be a little tough for them. So the future of the WWE is that, you know, I think they're going to have a really hard time creating new fans, but they did create so many, you know, 16 to 30-year-old fans in the Attitude Era that they still have a lot of, you know, age range people that can grow into being fans, and like it's not dying off anytime soon, but I don't see how they grow their product. So they are what they are, in my opinion. Like if anything, they're going to lose fans. And in fact, the only reason they haven't lost so many more fans is that like podcasts are so entertaining that it's much more fun to listen to people tear apart the WWE on a podcast than it is to actually watch it. So, like, if it wasn't for – they should be thanking their lucky stars that DVR and podcast came along, because it allows you to, A, listen to someone comment on how bad they are, and then, B, fast-forward through a three-hour show in 15 minutes. So, like, I just don't see how they grow their product, but I think it's – wishful thinking to think that they're going to have such a massive downturn that they need to make any changes anytime soon. I mean, it's really like, well, yeah. Is Vince McMahon going to die? If Vince McMahon dies, they'll probably become a much better product, but until he does, this is what we got.
Well, and the other factor that factors into it is Michael Hayes' 50-50 way of booking. I mean, if you watch Table for Three, the episode with Cornette, which, you know, it looked like they paid him a bunch of money to smile with glass in his mouth, you know, sit across from Michael Hayes and Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff's, you know, they asked him, what was your dream match? And Michael Hayes' exact words gave it away. John Cena versus Roman Reigns. I'm sorry. Do I want to, you know, I mean, just that right there and Hayes' nonchalant way of saying, I know this. I know the people. No, the fuck you don't. Because if you knew the people, we'd be getting sick and tired of seeing Vince's inability to pull the trigger with fucking Brock Lesnar and have him lose the championship. Brock even said, I would like, you know, I wouldn't have minded if it had been Samoa Joe. But since he's so insistent upon merch numbers and not just merch checks or whatever that he's cutting the superstars, because obviously Enzo let that out the bag, you know, last night, because that little thing cannot control his mouth. It's, you know, if you have set amount of superstars, you have 20, 30 guys on Raw, 20, 30 guys on SmackDown Live. Why is your B show beating your A show? Why, you know, it's not just on ratings on Hulu or ratings which are depleting on SmackDown Live and also Monday Night Raw on USA. But numbers are everything for me, and not just numbers, but proof the fact that you can actually fucking work and make your show worthwhile. And Monday Night Raw is supposed to be the show that's there, you know, and live and in your face. They need to cut it down to being 2 hours instead of three. They need to get, you know, Roman Reigns out of his comfort zone again, because now he's getting comfortable again. And it showed last night. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, wow, dude, you really didn't learn anything from prior experience with even John Cena. So, like, it's irritating to me how NXT and SmackDown Live can outshine a show on Monday that's supposed to be outdoing Monday Night Football. But unfortunately, when you have a lot of things that happen late, like let's have Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania 31. What the fuck? He should have been snatched up in 2008 when he was still going, when he was still kicking, and not Triple H. They should have put him versus Undertaker. I mean, my God.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know how many?
You got it. You got to respect Sting. Sting said he wouldn't come. And why would Sting come? You know, if Sting had come to the WWE in his prime, they would have had him be like the DDP character. Like, he would have been like a child molester stalker for The Undertaker. Like, that's how they would have introduced him. Like, you're dealing with a sociopath who is literally, like, he's Trump. Vince McMahon is Trump. So you have to just think of him like that, right? And, like, at how this guy deals with everything. And imagine him in a private business setting. Like, it must be even worse. Like, this is him reserved. So, like, that's what Vince McMahon is. Like, anything you're trying to put beyond this, I used to try and analyze this entire company. I don't anymore. Vince McMahon is probably one of the pettiest jerks in the world who is very good at booking wrestling, or he was very good at it. But he's lost his touch. Like, most people of that age lose their touch, but he has a vice grip on the company, and, like, anything he doesn't touch entirely is actually decent. SmackDown Live is not always great, but you can tell Vince McMahon doesn't touch that every step of the way. You can tell with Raw. It's boring. It's the same thing every freaking week for years. It's bad. And Roman Reigns isn't bad. In fact, he'd be a fantastic heel. He'd be a great heel. He's just a bad babyface because, like, no one – like, he's not cool. Like, he's an outdated look. No one thinks guys that look like that are cool anymore. Like, this is not 1996. Sorry. Like, that's not how you look cool. And, like, so it's just – it's an outdated view of the world. It's an outdated view of what's cool. It's an inability to properly milk what's cool. It's pushing the wrong guys, not pulling the trigger at the right time, and it's pushing the short term by lighting the long term on fire. And if you expect to get anything else out of it, you're not. Like, you're just not going to get anything else out of it. So the best thing to do is just sit back, you know, and just deal with the shit he's going to give you, because this is what he's going to give you. He's giving you years. There were years of this. Years. I mean, if you think of how hot Daniel Bryan was, go back and look at some of those things. I've never seen pops like that since Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it took that level of things, that level, to get him to just give him a title match at WrestleMania. Like, and it took him months to admit he was almost slightly wrong. Like, so this isn't going to, like, it's not going to work. Like, it's bad. It's bad. It's frustrating. Like, I barely watch anymore, and I'm a big wrestling fan. Like, I tuned back in last night because it seemed pretty exciting. Like, I don't watch very often anymore. Like, they are losing me as a fan. Like, I will listen to podcasts. I'll still kind of keep in the loop, but I won't watch their show. Like, I don't want, what the fuck, no, why would I watch the show? What's going to happen? I could check out for 8 weeks. I could come back. It's the same thing.
I mean, to me, the reason why I watch or tune in and people get on to me, they're like, well, NXT is a cheap knockoff of Ring of Honor and blah, blah. I'm like, guys, Ring of Honor and companies like IWGP and Wrestling Revolver will always be around. But if WWE takes notice of you and says, hey, how about, you know, you sign a contract? That's fine. I'll go use it as a platform because I know WWE is not my ultimate goal as a manager and as a worker. And I'm just telling you, like, guys like JT Davidson came on the show and was like, you know what, I don't think WWE should be your ultimate platform as, you know, a performer. And the reason why I'm so hard on them is because ever since 2013, people are like, oh, you have to move on from CM Punk. I have, believe you me, I have, but part of me wants to tell you, I miss hearing him, you know, give discrepancies out loud on air without even blinking an eye. And Vince, and everyone points the finger, Vince hated, tried to work with him. No, Vince tries to mold people and then shove them down our throats. He did it with Shawn Michaels. He did it with Diesel. He did it with Razor Ramon. They said, well, he's not the only one. It's the people around him. I said, no, you guys are fucking missing the point. Vince McMahon is a toxic waste that keeps coming back when he feels that he doesn't have control over anything. So the whole Hell in a Cell situation was brought up perfectly. I think the SmackDown Live has a general idea of how to entertain the fans. It's just, my God, you know, AJ Styles does not need the title anymore. Get, you know, let Ty Dillinger hold it for a couple months, 3 months, so that he can give himself an identity. I mean, you're giving Baron Corbin, who doesn't, and this irritates me, from the worker's perspective side of things, a heel should be able to call a match. He has not called a match since he's been in the fucking company. That's embarrassing. And if you saw the look on Ambrose's face during WrestleMania, I don't know if you watched it or not, but during WrestleMania 33, Ambrose had the look on his face like, do I really have to fucking call this for you? Simple spots like, throw me into the corner, give me a few, I'll duck, you know, the umpteen time that you've thrown a punch, and I'll give you a kick, you come after, give me a clothesline. No, fucking Corbin sits there and gets stuck, literally gets stuck, so Ambrose has to get him in a fucking headlock and call a simple spot Corbin should be able to call. And it's like, dude, you get guys in the company that are manufactured, like Roman Reigns, like Baron Corbin, like this German soccer dude that's in NXT that is fucking horrible. It's like, do you not understand, Vince? Do not trample on NXT. Please do not. Because that is the last thing us wrestling fans have to look forward to and bitch about and gripe and say, oh, I really like this match. I really liked when Asuka gave Ember Moon the Asuka lock. And I, you know, me personally, I watch them because, let's see, it can only get better, you think. You would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think what makes it the hardest for me, and I guess it's just, I need to take my own, like, personal bias out of this, but the hardest thing for me is this. It's that it'd be one thing if Vince McMahon was just bad at booking the show, but his whole concept of how he treats the wrestlers is just so frustrating to me. Like, you know that there is a backstage pressure that after Cesaro gets his teeth knocked into his fucking gums, right? Into his gums, that he has pressure to show up to Raw the next day, right? Like, if that guy didn't show up to Raw, Vince McMahon would not respect him as much. And, like, I know, you know, that's a backstage thing. And yet Vince McMahon spends all this time and money making sure that these guys are independent contractors and don't even get health insurance. He doesn't give a flying F about the well-being of these guys, yet he wants them to basically put their health and lives on the line for him, and he can't even acknowledge that they aren't independent contractors. And it's just like, I'm just sick of the company. Like, I really am. I'm just tired of the man. I'm tired of the company. And I don't know, the last 8-9 months in America have, like, just illuminated me to how bad this guy is. Like, he's just, he's a horrendous human being. And when he's also bad at his job, there's no room for me to watch this guy. Like, there's just none. Like, if you're good at your job, all right, whatever. You're a jerk and you're, but, like, don't be horrible at your job and be this. Because then no one has any use for you. Then you should just die.
Well, if you listen to what Bret Hart and CM Punk said, it's very similar. I wrestled when I was sick. I wrestled when I wasn't feeling my best. I wrestled, and Punk was like, I had diarrhea, but it was dry. Like, it, you know, the things that these guys say, like, oh, I was promised $36 million, but I only got 12. So, you know, what I believe it is, and he won't ever say this out loud because he believes that he's a, you know, genuine businessman and he's doing wonderful things for children. It's not all Vince, though. I mean, Laurinaitis is guilty of it, too, because he's part of the, you know, talent, whatever. Now, I guess Steve Corino is part of the talent scouting, and so is Bill DeMott and different various other former workers who have worked for Vince, like Alundra Blaze or Medusa or whatever she goes by. I don't give a fuck. All I know is when I turn on the TV, I was hoping to see Samoa Joe
Didn't see him because he's out with injury. So now I figure he's coming back at TLC. The sad part is they could have pulled the trigger at SummerSlam and had Joe be champion and, you know, take it back off of him at No Mercy. But unfortunately, when you have a live house show with John Cena, who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing in the ring, and he's going to say, well, I worked 15 years. Yeah, you also kissed ass, and you also destroyed Alex Riley's career. Not that anybody cares, but, I mean, the reason why people do not like me as, you know, a podcaster is the fact that I'm fucking honest with people. Here's the honest reason. You don't see very many upfront people in WWE anymore because now they set the standard. If you mouth off about the company, you'll be blah, 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 in juncture with your contract. Don't give a flying foot. Look at Enzo. Enzo, who doesn't. Obviously, we lost our caller, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm going to continue this. Enzo, who does well for half the time in the company, we thank you, Tom, for joining us. If you went through a tunnel, please let me know. Or if you dropped your call, thank you for calling Wrestle Radio. You can call in at 213-943-3422. Lines are open, but this is Off the Rails, Wrestle Radio edition. And thank you, Tom, for helping me along discuss my negativity. All right. But no, there's half and half. It's not all Vince's fault is what I'm trying to say. Although, it makes you wonder because the final say does go through the head honcho. Not to bore you all to tears, but last night, No Mercy kind of just gave it away. Everyone knows where Roman Reigns' mind is headed. It's not towards the Shield reunion, although we'd love to see it. And speaking of which, the combustible elements of last night's Monday Night Raw with Seth Rollins Dean Ambrose, and of course, one Roman Reigns, all in separate matches. But last night, The Miz and The Miztourage basically gave the fist out, taunting the fans, saying, you want a Shield reunion? We're doing what we do best, and that is destroy. We've had enough factions in WWE and also WCW and NWA. What are the one common things these factions get? They get heat with the crowd. Simple. You piss somebody off, you're going to get heat with the crowd. So, what did this heat cause? It ended up causing a ricochet effect. Social media went crazy. Wrestling social media went crazy. The possibility of a Shield reunion. Now, focus on the fans and what they're going to do, right? So The Miz does a masterful job of that. But what my friend was trying to say is, or acquaintance, is that he's frustrated with the way the product is showing up and how it's being presented. There's ways, guys, that you can present a tease or, you know, something awesome when it comes to a faction. There's the Four Horsewomen, there's the Miztourage, and there's the possibility the Shield might reunite. Might. When, where, I don't know. There's other companies that people can watch. There's other companies that people can get used to and, you know, be friends, be peaceful with. And that's Ring of Honor, and that's different things. But today, folks, I'd like to read something from Uncle Bob. And it's very, very hits home. Stop thinking you're talented. I know. Weird way to start a post. Here's the deal. I never want you to not work hard, not to go to the gym, not study, not treat people well, or not take action because you're more talented than the others. Please just show up and work hard. Treat people well. Be there when opportunities arise. They won't always be glaring balls of fire. They may be little embers on the floor. Business is relationships. Make friends with people. Serve them first. Be someone be counted on, even if it's a slight inconvenience, because very few people are able to be relied upon to do good work and deliver. So deliver and be nice. Travel. Drive if you have to. Walk. Sleep in the car if you need to. Talent will get you far. The ability to sacrifice when need be will get you everywhere. Undeniable is a word thrown around a lot today. Part of being undeniable is not denying yourself chances, because I am so much more talented than the rest. I'll stay home today and slack off. Some who are less talented than you will be there for opportunities. Show up, be nice, don't let your talent ruin you by having you rest on your laurels. So stop thinking you're talented. It'll fill your life with a lot less excuses. I love you. You know what? That's very true. And speaking of which, that segues into my little spiel about Enzo Amore. Enzo had a lot of things to say last night. Basically, he believes that he is the reason why the cruiserweight division is what it is. Yes and no. Yes, Enzo Amore brought interest to WWE's cruiserweight division because, let's just say it, it sucked. It didn't have very many intrigue or interest in it, other than the fans who had prior knowledge of these people. There's a lot of things that factor into the destruction of Enzo Amore. One, he used to be so popular. I remember at a time when I caught him first on NXT, and there's, you know, so many people like, oh, you got to catch a new, this new dude, his name's Enzo. Okay, cool. So I turn on the tube and I see Enzo with Carmella and Cass. And those three were like the hottest commodity in WWE. But, you know, like, being said, you can have all the talent in the world and feel like you can say, I'm the most talented person in the room. As he says, bada boom, coolest dude in the room, how you doing? I think part of the thing is, Enzo is being taught a lesson. And what is that lesson? You run your mouth, you get your ass beat. Well, apparently, Big Cass, who got hurt, now, apparently, here's what I have to say. Enzo, people seem to forget, isn't the only one who fucked up really bad. But you know why they focus on him now? Because he is in the now of fucking up. So where does that leave Miz? Where does that leave other guys who have screwed up in the business? They just didn't screw up as bad. They didn't make or leave trails. So does that mean all of us are perfect? Does that mean all of us are not at fault? Let me just say this to reiterate, because I've had this guy on before, now that I recall, and he was on longer than before. But if you decide to call back in, dude, you're more than welcome. So I don't know why the call drops. So here's the thing. With Enzo Amore, he started out really good, NXT 2015, debuted in 2000, around the very first takeover in a dark match with Big Cass versus the Bob Villains versus the Hype Bros. I can tell you right now, I believe Enzo, if he were to go back to NXT, I don't think that would solve anything. If they send him anywhere, the locker room just does not like him. When you have a guy who, all of us have exuded this trait before, where we know we're good, we know what we're good at, and we're going to continue to do it. So how does one make themselves better? How does one make himself better? What does Enzo need to do to fix it? Ain't up to us, guys. Let him figure it out for himself. Because, honestly, if you play the role of I'm better than you, so I can give out advice, yada, yada, you're not helping matters either. What you're doing is making it worse. People say he wouldn't shut his mouth. Well, tell me something, guys. Have you basically won at a video game and you ran your mouth because you know you kicked your friend's ass? That's what I'm getting at. I'm not defending the little shit, but honestly, if you don't know somebody and you just know them based off their persona, it's sad when you read stuff, because then that persona gets amplified. And here's the problem. Once that persona gets amplified, it ends up leaving us with thoughts of, gee, I really do want to kick this guy in the ass. Gee, I really do want to punch his fucking face in. Because as that guy referred to Vince McMahon being like Trump, it's not too far off. We'll discuss, and I, little preview into political speak. There's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world. A lot of rioting. There's a lot of bad juju going on in St. Louis. There's a lot of protests going around nationally, speaking their minds about a leader who's really bad. What does this have to do with wrestling? There has not been many protests about Vince McMahon. I mean, the man's had several lawsuits. And how does he win? Because he has really good lawyers and someone who can actually read documents for him, or he can actually read documents because he is dyslexic. It's not to partake in disrespecting the boss, but here's the thing. When you disrespect the boss, you're automatically disrespecting the company. Is Wrestle Radio a representation of WWE? No. Are we allowed to vocalize our frustrations on any matter of the thing? Does it mean I'm going to have a job anytime soon with WWE? Probably not. But the fact of the matter is this. Some people are very, very wise. Some people just don't know when to quit. Enzo Amore is one of those guys that took direction from Vince McMahon or Triple H and said, okay, I'll run with it. However he decided to run with it was pretty bad. Because I don't know the extent of what will happen to Enzo Amore, but I do know that 205 Live does not want or like to welcome him simply because it's one of those. Okay? So, yawn. Monday Night Raw was boring as fuck. The women's match was interesting to me. Although I wish Nia and Emma would have won. I'm sorry, I'm answering questions, folks, in the middle of my Enzo rant. Enzo basically took the East Coast Bleedo gimmick, made it a little bit better than Nunzio and, you know, the rest of the FBI and ECW. Big Vito. It's funny. I believe Nunzio would have more respect in the cruiserweight division than Enzo. Enzo basically has gotten to the point where fans are just, they're reciting what he says still. There's fans that still cheer for him. So the amazing part of this is he still has fans. Ironically enough, he's selling merch. And he brought up a good... His merch check.
is way bigger than Neville's. Do you know why? Most people don't even know who the fuck Neville is unless you say the guy that faced John Cena very first match and got hurt. Sometimes you got to look at things from two sides of this tape, right? Enzo, yes, he's annoying. The destruction of him, who knows? Maybe he may get better. Is it up to us to judge him? Most people would say yes. That title is probably not going to be on his waist for very much longer. It had the opposite effect when they dropped him off at a place, as Neville referred to it, as a slug that should have been just left out in the cold just to frost and die. I know Corey Graves doesn't like him personally, but he said himself, I hope things turn around for the better. Okay? So, for those wishing to know why I'm going half and half with Enzo Amore, I'm kind of raw booking unit-wise, or raw, you know, going the raw booking way of things, which is 50-50. You can't say that he's the only one who runs his mouth on the roster as a character. Come on. There's The Miz. And if Jericho was around, Jericho. If Kevin Owens was on Raw, then Kevin Owens. Come on, guys. I mean, look. Everyone believes he's annoying and they don't want to hear him. Well, here's the problem with your little theory. There are certain guys that run their mouths on TV that get you going because it's their job. And if they got a reaction out of you, guess what? They did their job. So where does this leave us at Wrestle Radio tomorrow night? Probably around 6:30, 6:45, maybe even 7 o'clock. We'll just leave it at 7 p.m. 6:30 through 7 p.m. Off the rails, uncensored. I'm going to set sail once again. Now, have a nice day, night, whatever, bitches. I got to go eat. Again, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Enjoy the rest of your night, whatever. Toodles, bitches.
The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy. I'm the cost of personality. The cost of personality.